And we are so happy to be with you. It's a gorgeous afternoon here. We're live at Marina Park in Newport Beach on the lovely Balboa Peninsula, as Guy Bear likes to call it. Welcome, gentlemen. We're going to get right into it here in a couple of minutes. I'm really looking forward to this evening of hockey drafting.
Well, Steve, it certainly is a day that changes the lives of a lot of young men who have sacrificed and kind of pushed the limits of their athletic ability to be able to be selected in an NHL draft. And, you know, it's certainly a day that they'll never forget. Their parents, their coaches, their friends, their families who have supported them along the way won't forget. And it's also going to change the direction of a lot of franchises. So you're looking for that franchise player, certainly in the first round.
And just want to say lovely intro, Steve, there, laying it out for us, Guy and I. And look, after the season, the long season and the long road trips that we get to enjoy with one another, it's just good to be back. You by my side, Guy, it's a pleasure to have you to my right. And I'm going to piggyback off you, Guy, in a sense that I can't wait to see guys like Matthew Schaefer, guys like Michael Misa, who was exceptional status not too long ago. So there's just a lot of big-time players in particular, the top 10 picks. We all know that the Anaheim Ducks sitting pretty at number 10, and the list goes on and on. How about Porter Moton? I've seeing him play lots, checking out the clips. He looks like a big game player as well, so I look forward to it all.
And we'll get a chance to see who that might be.
We have to talk about who is going to make the selection right
that's
here.
True.
We're looking at some original OG Mighty Duck movie stars, Marguerite Moreau and Joshua Jackson. I'm a big fan of the movie, of course. Had a chance to meet both of them, and we've had Marguerite on our set many a time. She's a huge Ducks fan, and I mean, no better people to be out there celebrating and making this selection, in my mind.
Oh, yeah, it's great. They do a good job of getting people to do things like this at our home games during the off season. They do as good a job as anybody in professional sports, and we're going to have another one right now coming in. Pick is in, and we'll get it to you here in just a moment. And hopefully have a chance to visit with who's involved in all of this. But it's about time we get it. And I'm trying to guess. I don't think I want to go out on a limb right now. I'm just going to wait to see who
sit
it
back
is.
And relax, Steve, and we'll enjoy.
And like you, Guy, just such a fan of the movies growing up. So to have these two making this selection for the good guys, there's nothing better.
Roger McQueen is who they have up on the platform from Brandon, WHL. Now, I've read a little bit about this guy, kind of a bigger guy. I'll have to read more about the goal-scoring ability, but he's the center, and maybe a guy as a fan wouldn't want to tangle with, if that gives you an idea of what we might be getting here.
Well, we know Pat Verbeek's style, right? He wants mobile guys with good size to be able to attack and play that physical game, and I think this is another player that kind of fits that mold. You know, look at 6'5", 198 pounds. You think about, strength coaches can't wait to get their hands on kids like this where they can put another 20 pounds or more on them in the upcoming seasons. And, you know, once again, I'll just go back that you can't teach size. So a big guy, I called it center.
Yep.
You know, you think about Ryan Getzlaff's of the world, you know, big dominant centers, Joe Thornton, Jamie Benn. You think about those guys and you can't help but wonder, a 6'5" youngster and Roger McQueen would be the guy that I think the Ducks have been hoping that was going to last, and they were able to select him without without having to make any kind of moves.
Yeah, and I'll elaborate into his in-depth game here in the next several minutes, but just he hasn't played a full season. Look, 55 games played 3 seasons ago, 53 games played for the Brandon Wheat Kings in the Western Hockey League 2 seasons ago, and then 17 games played last year. He got 20 points in those 17 games played, including 10 goals in those 17 games played. Look, he's a guy. I love how you mentioned Getze, because at that size, you just can't help but think Getze. And
once again, you said can't wait for the trainers, the strength and conditioning coaches for the Anaheim Ducks to develop a guy like this, right? His weight is already there, currently listed 197, but just he's going to fill out it even more. Is he going to be a full-time 205, 210 type of guy in the next couple of years? But bottom line, the Anaheim Ducks, they add size. They know where size has gotten them historically. And look, they're back in that column. So I love the pick. And just in the next several moments, I'll be able to dissect his game a little bit more for you.
Well, Steve, we've got a guest. We've been waiting all day for a guest, and we finally have one because the business is over.
He's smiling, yes. And what do you have for us, Bruce Franklin?
Well, we're happy to welcome Roger to the organization. You know, he's had a tough year, and it's probably been a dream. Well, it's been a dream of his. First, when he started playing hockey, it finally came to fruition of getting drafted.
Now, I know that, you know, just what you guys put the prospects through, all the paces of physical testing, mental evaluations and all that. And with the injury that he's had, I know the medical staff has gone through. Were you guys completely satisfied with the injury that he had and be able to move forward without any issues?
Yeah, I think that there's going to be some things that he has to manage, that he's well aware of it. And I've met him during the course of the year, right from the start of August, throughout the season and through the whole injury process. I've never seen a person that has been so upbeat with his injury and keep a positive attitude, especially going through his draft year, that he's not playing, but he had that positive attitude that he knew he was going to come back and eventually get drafted. And it's something that he's going to have to manage, but I'm sure he's learned. I know that he's learned a lot about the medical part of his back and what he has to do to play with it, to keep him healthy and in the lineup.
And that's something I mentioned earlier in regards to Roger McQueen, in a sense that that upbeat mentality must have been the case. I mean, you talk about a guy who missed some time but was able to put that behind him and dominate each and every time he was on the ice. What is the number one thing that about him and his game that jumped up out? Yeah.
Well, first of all, for a guy that's 6'5" and still growing, the way he moves and gets around the ice, like he's still growing into his body. He just doesn't have the strength in his skating or his upper body, but he gets around the ice so well, and he handles the puck, and he has that big long reach and tight and going around through people and through the triangle, and he can finish off plays because he's got a really good shot.
I've been saying comparables with each and every pick so far. Is there a concurrent NHL player that you would compare Rogers' game to at the present time?
Boy, that's tough because he's, you know what, people want to say the easy ones are like Tage Thompson and stuff because of that, but I think that he's probably maybe a little different player. I can't, you know, I don't want to put names out there, but just with the size, the reach, and the length, and the way he plays, would be people would come out with that.
Yeah, and this is a player that I'm going to mention that I could just, there's some similarities, not the same, but an Adam Lowry, right? Great and tight, right around the net, goal line player. They're strong. They can put it home in that area. And I think the best part about that is the simple fact that that translates to playoffs. So,
yeah, like the one thing that when he did come back from his injury, he wanted to show people that he wasn't afraid of contact. And he went in, got on the forecheck and took the body. I think it was also a mindset to find out if he was healthy enough to be able to take the contact. And it was just unfortunate that with the travel, they had the worst possible matchup going from Brandon to Lethbridge. It was about 12 hours on the bus, and he just couldn't handle it by just sitting there for that time. And it sort of wasn't able to finish that series.
Well, I've got one last one. So, you know, building for the future, it's always important to fill, you know, holes in whatever you need. It's the needs versus the wants. Did you guys find the need that you have down the middle to kind of have that replacement of a, you know, a very big middle center? You know, I mean, we talked about Ryan Getzlaff earlier. There's been the kind of absence of that type of player in Anaheim for the last few years since Getzy's retired. So do you find that he could be that type of guy? Not same player, but kind of fill that role as being that kind of dominant center in the future?
Yes, but also he's a guy that is a right-handed center, and we have two left guys with Mac T and Leo ahead of him, or that are playing right now. But Rogers also has the ability to play wing, so you can always load up with your top six because he has played wing last year. So here's a guy that can play center, your third line center, or the way Q coached in Chicago, where he loaded up with Kane and Taves, and just, or what Edmonton does with Draisaitl and McDavid, you could just put with Leo, Mac T. You've got Beckett coming up, and you got Roger. They're all big guys, and just put them all on the ice back to back.
That nightmare scenario for defensemen and goalies.
Good news. We're all for it.
Yeah, Bruce, thank you so much. Hey, congratulations.
Thank you
first
very much.
Of all, and I still got a little bit of the draft to go here and that, but sure, a lot of hard work pays off, and looks like you got a good one for the future.
And it's a nice day here in Newport Beach here.
Okay. So. Well, nice. Thank you for
thank
spending
you
some time with us, and we'll see you down the line.
Okay, take care.
Okay.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.
I
appreciate it.
All right. Boy, that was refreshing, huh? Yeah, Martin Madden has joined us right here. We just congratulated Bruce on what we just found out about new addition. What can you add to what he might have said already?
I have to say, Roger, as first line upside, he's a really talented hockey player. He's smart. Yeah, he's big. He's skilled. He's got really good mobility for a kid his age who's had to deal with a, you know, pretty important injury. He understands how to deal with that now. He's close to being 100% healthy. So we're super excited to have him on board.
Well, I want to hit you with the same question I asked Bruce because I want to know if it's the same answer.
Yep.
But, you know, for the future, you know, the Ducks have missed kind of that big body center, you know, Ryan Getzlaff type. And, you know, is this a player that you think that could fill that role in the future? Obviously, he needs to play more games since the injury and get more accustomed to eventually the NHL. But is that something you can see, or is he more versatile of a player than just the center?
He is more versatile than just playing center. He's played wing, but I do see somebody who can step into that role eventually. You know, as you said, let's get him back on the ice, playing games, getting more confident, getting back to what we saw in the playoffs last year. He played on an underdog teams against a Moose Jaw team that won the league, and going back through all the games, he was the best player on the ice in a playoff setting. Like, he's a big man that takes a lot of space and commands the puck, and that's what we expect to see in the NHL. Not so far down the road.
And just by looking at his clip so far, I mean, just opposing players seemingly bouncing off him, right? He's got great puck protection skills, keep the puck on the outside, and he's just so great in his finishing ability around the net. Just in a general landscape with all these prospects and lottery picks here, Martin, is the mindset between most teams to take their time with these prospects? I know it's a player-by-player basis, but say from 10, 15 years ago, is it any different between rushing a player first year or maybe giving them some a little bit more time?
I think most organizations have learned that it doesn't serve a major purpose to push guys into roles, situations that they're not prepared for. So that has changed. You know, the signaling that we've made the right pick and we're going to show everybody that the guy we took is the right guy and we're going to put him in the lineup right away. I don't think that exists anymore. It doesn't exist with us anyways. We're going to do what's best for the player. And if he's ready, then so be it, and great for us. We get a good player quickly. But in other cases, it's better to make sure that the player is ready for the challenge, because, as you know, it is a major challenge to step into the NHL.
It certainly is. And furthermore, along the lines of that last question, with Leo Carlson and his somewhat of a load management game plan in his rookie year, is that something that you see teams utilizing more? Of course, Macklin Celebrini, mm-hmm. San Jose implementing a similar system. Is that something you anticipate seeing further down the line?
Well, we'll see what the changes are with the CBA and how we can use the American League or the NCAA to serve that purpose. But for some guys, going back to play junior at a certain age would be redundant. They need to face better competition, but they're not quite ready physically to do it on a nightly basis. So that's what Pat decided to do with Leo, and I think it served him well. He was outstanding after the Four Nations this season, and I think we'll see how the way we've dealt with them over the last two seasons takes him to a major leadership role next year.
Well, listen, the draft's not done. I know we get so excited about the first round, right? And we're like,
it's far from done.
You know, so you guys have a ton of work to do and a lot of selections to make. So as you move forward in this draft, is it, again, just taking the best player available, trying to fill needs that the team needs, not just today, but down the road? Or, you know, is there any insight to that you can share?
I'll go back to what I usually say about that. For us, we've had success when we've selected players that our scouts have passion for. And we're going to try to move around the draft board to make sure that we select players that, as a group, we really want as Ducks.
Martin, congratulations on the pick today, and we'll look forward to tomorrow. And you guys have done a terrific job here, and wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you very much.
The legend.
No, come on.
I'm blessed to be in you.
Yeah, Steve's here already.
Yeah. I mean, what else can I ask for? I'm afraid to even ask a question. I'm so in awe.
Well, you got to introduce him first.
Scotty, how are you?
I'm good, guys. I'm good. You guys got the best seat in the house out here.
We found an umbrella.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What a day, huh? You got great weather. Kids getting drafted. Ducks on the upswing in that. You feel good about what you're seeing and how the draft went today?
Yeah, it actually ended up pretty much, I think, like everybody thought. For us, so that's positive. I never saw Roger play this year, but listened to our scouts and people talk about him. Very good hockey player. Obviously, a bit of injury trouble this year, so something to take care of. But big guy. Pat likes his big guys, and he is one of those. So exciting to get him.
Well, first of all, I got to compliment you on your shoes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's Scotty's shoe game is off the charts for draft day.
Thanks for noticing. I appreciate it.
I might take a picture and post it to my Instagram just to give you some props. But Scotty, always stylish.
No, never until today.
Scotty, nice shoes.
You'll echo the
sentiment. Yeah, I got to echo.
You like the
shoes? I was late, but I'll echo.
Yep.
Hey, he's right.
He's right.
draft day is such a special day for everybody involved. It's the kids that are being drafted. It's all of you, right? It's the whole scouting department. It's the management, the ownership of Henry and Susan, and to be able to see that first pick go. I was talking with Martin, and I asked him about, your job's not really done. That first pick everybody looks forward to.
Yeah.
But then you realize you have more picks and more rounds to do that. So, moving forward, is there something specific that the team is looking for in these next several rounds?
Well, I think we're pretty fortunate where we have drafted a lot of players, and we have a lot of good young players in all positions, which is a good thing. And I think when you do look at the teams that are having success, the first round is what it is. You get a chance at obviously a really good player, but the ability to find players that can contribute to your team in the later rounds, I think, is a really important thing to be one of the best teams in the league. So, like you said, there's a lot of work to be done, and hopefully we can do that here in the next, tomorrow, and if there's anything going on today as well.
Out of curiosity, Scotty, when you're with the guys on your management team and you're talking about a player, are you giving your insight from a defenseman's perspective in regards to the Anaheim Ducks drafting a forward, or are you relaying your message as just knowing what a forward and what
good forwards can do?
Well, probably both. I mean, I you know, as a defenseman, you do know what's difficult to defend against and the challenges like that. You know, when I do watch defensemen, I think I probably have a little more insight into the little details of the game in that department for sure. And I'm pretty big on a compete level for me. You know, I think having the good fortune to be in the playoffs and play with a lot of players that had a high compete level, I know that's what led us to success. So to me, that's very important. You know, when you get into the playoffs and the game gets real hard and you get sore and tired, you know, that compete level that comes kind of from your inner core is something that kind of takes you to the finish line. So to me, that's very important.
And that kind of matches the game of Roger McQueen, right? You mentioned that you didn't watch him a ton. You relied on your staff to do a lot of those clip taking and so on and so forth. But when you talk about compete level, it seems like he has compete level written all over him. So can you just touch on that part of his game and his overall puck protection skills?
Yeah, I mean, I think he does have skill, but with that size as well, he doesn't mind playing in the tough areas of the game, which I think when you watch the playoffs, that's where the game is. I mean, there is the odd highlight reel goal scored, but most of it's pretty ugly, grind it out, you know, bang around and let it bounce off something and go in the net. And I think he's willing to do that. You combine that with size and skill, it's a pretty nice package. And I know Pat likes compete as well, so we don't have too many arguments when we're talking about that. So, yeah, excited and looking forward to meeting Roger.
Well, congrats on the pick.
Thank you.
Hey, just kind of curious, Scotty, from your days playing to where the game is now, if you're a defenseman, how has the game changed in that area? Is it tougher to play, longer to learn how to play successful, or what are your thoughts?
It has changed, you know, for sure. I mean, it changed. The rules kind of got called tighter right before actually I came here to Anaheim. And we really struggled for a bit, you know, trying to play the game without hooking and holding and grabbing and wrestling and all those things. You know, so even someone like me that, you know, I was more of a skater, yeah. And I could kind of rely on that. It was hard. We were in the penalty box a lot of minors for all that stuff. And now you watch the forwards with the puck, they're fearless. They come right into your space and stick handle and put it through your skates and your stick, and they don't have any fear. There was fear, I think, for guys with the puck back in the day where they were they didn't want to get too close to many defensemen in the NHL because there was a price to pay. So that's changed a lot too, and skating has obviously become really important. I think you are now finding that size is still important, but you do need to be able to skate as well. Whereas maybe in my early days, you could kind of get away without the skating part. You know, you could hook and hold and cross-check and be effective, but not anymore.
So relatively in this first round, it's been pretty quiet. Like, teams have seemingly stayed pat to what they wanted to do. They've had kind of a couple players selected in their minds. Player was available, so they made that selection. Are you surprised that there hasn't been really any kind of movement, any, you know, any trades or, you know, even just trading picks to this point? Or is this kind of what you think everybody's kind of projected for this first round?
I mean, I'm like everybody else. I enjoy some good entertainment and something happens. In having been around a little bit now, I think you kind of recognize that there's a lot of stuff that gets sort of batted around and discussed. Most of it never really sees the light of day. So you kind of learn to just kind of relax and just kind of let it play out. And things get talked about. Most of it never happens. You know, teams are excited. This is a fun day or two to make these picks. There's a lot of optimism, like you mentioned, about the organization, everybody involved. And it is hard to pass up those opportunities, I think.
I'm just curious about playing defense. What's the most important thing to you when you're coming into the league as a rookie, regardless where you start, whether it's junior, whether it's college, wherever it might be? What would you be as a coach telling those guys, maybe three or four top things to be successful?
Actually, to me, there's one thing that really stands out for a young defenseman that you have to kind of learn, and it's sort of just the level of sort of focus and intensity in the defensive zone. I think, even myself, I think back when I was 18, and there was an extra level of excitement and focus when you had the puck in your stick and you're going down to score a goal. when you're standing in front of the net watching everybody defend and you're where's your check, you're not quite as excited about that part of the game. So you kind of have to learn to appreciate that and get excited about defending and defending well. And I eventually did. It took a little time, but I think that's very consistent with young defensemen. I mean, with any hockey player, you want to score goals. Yeah. You want to have fun with the puck on your stick. And as you mature and learn about what it takes to have success as a team, you understand the importance of defending and all the time. I mean, there's no, you can't just stand in front of the net with your legs straight and your stick up in the air. There's work to be done every second that you're on the ice in the D zone.
Scotty, last thing for me, and I know you got to get going. It's just a perfect timing here because it was the exact guy I was thinking. And I want to go back to your previous comment as far as how the game is being played, the puck carriers and their guts cutting through the middle, just making big time plays coming off the wall and on entries, you name it. A guy like Kayshon Aitchison, he's a guy throwing his weight around. Mm-hmm. He likes to pinch, step up, and lay the big body hit. Whether it's maybe an advice for him and that type of player or yourself, if you were to transform to your game nowadays, how would you approach defending some of the most elite players in the game?
Well, I think, you know, my skill set was the skating. So I think maybe if I'm lucky, it would sort of translate today, you know, where I could use my skating and kind of use that to defend. That's really what I did back then. I wasn't obviously as big and strong as most defensemen back then. But I, you know, a guy like this, like Kayshon, I haven't seen him play either, but you see highlights, you hear people talk about him, and there isn't a lot of that physical element in the game anymore. I think for a lot of guys, it's hard at young ages because the way they call the game, they're trying to protect the kids from injury and different things like that, which is a good thing, obviously. But it does make it hard to play that type of aggressive physical game. And I think some players just never really grow that as part of their game. So when there's a player that has that, they're pretty unique now. You know, again, back in the old days when Guy played, you know, there was pretty much every second guy wanted to rip your arm off, you know, or take your head off. Now it's like one at every 50. Maybe, yeah. You know?
Well, we have, we're lucky here in Anaheim to have Ratko Gudas and
there's
Jacob
two guys.
Kruba,
yeah.
Who
yeah, they're two
are
guys.
Some of the best open ice hitters.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
Well, and Solberg is kind of a much younger version of those type of guys, right? He loves the contact. He loves to step up. And
yeah, he does. You know,
there was a rumor that maybe a year ago there was a little tussle between him and Ratko in the in the World Championship. So
he's a bit fearless, yeah. So, which is great. Yeah, those guys are rare, you know, but they're still important. I mean, you see Florida having success, and you know they got a handful of guys there that are old school, and they're going to do whatever it takes to win, and they're not fun to play against, and they're willing to pay a price to stop a goal or score one, and they're the Stanley Cup champions 2 years in a row.
I know people ask me, why did Florida win again? And I said, in a very complimentary way, I said, they bullied their way to the Stanley Cup. And if you look at it, you know, they make, you know, Brad Marchand an acquisition late in the season, and you're thinking, how are you going to hit Marchand and Bennett? And you go down a line of physical and the will to win, compete players. I mean, I think that Marchand was such an integral part of winning that Stanley Cup. But that's the way they played. They bullied people. They've out-physicaled them. And then the one time that Edmonton tried to out-physical them in the finals, it just blew up on them. So, yeah, that strategy certainly, you know, not just the defenseman, but that mentality, I think, can go a long way. And, you know, you see that with the Ducks, with some of their personnel.
It's very much two different games now almost, the playoffs and the regular season, I think. Again, back in the old days when us old guys played, it was the same game, just kind of dialed up a bit. I think now the regular season is so much about skill and speed, and the game just goes like that. But once the playoffs happen, the guys are willing to pay that price, and it just gets that much tougher. And teams will make it tough on you, and you got to be willing to play through that as well. That's just as important to me as being a guy that's making the big hit, is like, can you take a big hit, pick up, and keep playing and be just as good, if not better? And you kind of have to play both sides of that coin, I think, to have success.
Hey, got anything? let him go. I think he's been busy enough today, huh?
I haven't been that busy.
No,
there's a lot of people doing real work. Right. I'm not going to claim that I'm doing real work. I'm just wearing my shoes.
Okay, well,
that's all I'm doing. I'm just wearing
decisions. You guys have to make. Doesn't that take a toll on you?
I don't have to make any decisions. Okay. I'd have to decide what am I going to eat. You know, am I having the roasted veggies or am I having the cheese? I don't know.
Oh, right.
Part of the support system.
Hey, thanks for coming over here and spending some time with us and. Good luck on the draft today as we move further into tomorrow. Nice to see you.
Good seeing you guys and enjoying talking to you.
Thanks, Scotty.
That's Scott Niedermeyer, Guy Bear, along with, who's this guy next to me? Emerson Needham.
But you know what I want is I want some time with the one and only Sudsy. And Sudsy is here
to
join us.
I would like that, too.
Welcome to the show, Sudsy.
Thanks,
great
guys.
To have you.
Great to be here.
So, you know, as goaltending guru, I know you have a much fancier title, but, you know, in my mind, you're just the guru of goaltending. You know, how does today play out for you? I know that you're part of all the scouting and, you know, talking about all the players, forwards, defensemen and all that. But do you, you know, do you talk about from a goaltender's perspective when they're saying, well, this guy's a good shooter or this guy's a good defender, this defenseman we should take because he defends well. What is your input on some of those decisions?
You know, it's funny. Last year when we were looking at Beckett in the draft, one of the things that I talked about with a few of our guys was how well Beckett disguised his shot compared to some of the guys that we were sort of looking at in that range. And so there's no question from a goalie perspective, you can definitely throw in a little bit of input in that because in Beckett's case, he does such an excellent job of hiding the release. That I think it kind of goes unnoticed sometimes. So when you take a look at
only the opposing goalies,
yeah, exactly. Except for the guys intending on dropping it. But so in that department, I can definitely lend a hand on things like that.
And just speaking to our previous conversation here earlier today, Sudsy, I think goaltending from a surface level perspective, and I think this is kind of where this question comes from for a lot of our audience here. Draft in and draft out. Sometimes, are you always picking one goalie? Or sometimes you're picking zero? Do you pick multiple in any which draft? Can you elaborate?
You know, every year is a different puzzle. And I know in some years you're looking at a real wealth of goalies, and so you know you can look at multiple options. In a year like this year, where there aren't as many as of the high end guys as there have been in some other years, you know you're really looking at what the team's wants and the team's needs are, and then you know at this moment in time, we drafted a goalie early. A year or so ago. And so, you know, it's one of those things where we're going to weigh it against the best players available. So at this point in time, it becomes a real game of evaluating. Here in Anaheim, we keep our goalie list. We'll meld it in at a much later point. Some teams will meld it in early. We tend to meld it in a little bit later. And so Martin Madden, who's just spectacular at deciphering where approximately he believes the goalies will go, at that point we'll sort of gauge where the best value is to take a goalie at that point.
And a follow-up question I have, Sudsy, is you mentioned how you have input, and in particular Beckett Seneca's shot, how that fooled goaltenders and your eye for that. When it comes to contract negotiation and look, free agency, Lukasz Dostal being a guy who is up for a new contract, I know you for seeing you on the ice working for the goalie shot in and shot out and drill in and drill out and watching countless games. How much a part of you are a part of the contract negotiations are you?
Yeah, that one unfortunately is well above my stature. So, you know, obviously when it comes to the side where there's constant communication about you know, our level of interest in a case like Lukasz Dostal, obviously, you know, we're excited to have a young goalie like like Lucas. You know, every year I'm responsible with the input of both Jeff Glass and Peter Budaj. We put, you know, I'll get their input on free agents, but I will attend our final free agent meetings, pro meetings, and put together a list of all the free agent goalies in the upcoming year. Whether we are looking at signing a guy imminently or not, you always have to be prepared. And so throughout the year, Pat will come to me and he'll say, listen, such and such is available. What's your level of interest on this player if he were to become available? And so over the course of the year, there's definitely a lot of communication on interest with possible free agent goalies. You know, we also be trying to, there's, it's a bit of a puzzle there because you're, you know, we have a young goalies in Vladislav Butajets, Thomas Suhanek, Kalle Klang, and Damian Klara. And so we're also trying to balance their development and their ability to get some playing time as well. You know, one of the mistakes that a lot of teams make is they jump at who's available. The problem is then you create roadblocks for the guys that you're hoping will develop. Well, you know, you start throwing too many roadblocks, you create all kinds of issues for yourself. And so it really is a balancing act to figure out what our current needs are and where we can leave some leeway for some of our young developing talent to come in.
Well, Satya, I'm going to be fanboying here a little bit with some of your past picks. Look, Freddie Anderson, Gibby, the list goes on, and of course, Lukasz Dostal. Mm. I mean, can't forget him. How about when you just absolutely swung for the fences and Ville Husso? I thought that was such an underrated pickup. He did great things during his few games here in Anaheim. He showed well in Utah there, had a great first period, went down to San Diego, played marvelous. You know, I got to give you props for that one because I thought that was a solid pick as well. Can you just elaborate on his game?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that injury has played such a big part of the struggles that Ville has gone through, and really doing a lot of homework on what those injuries were and what we could do to help get past that. You know, prior to us making the trade, you know, Detroit was fantastic. Pat was fantastic in the process. It gave me an opportunity to call their goalie coach and speak to their goalie coach and see where Ville was technically and mentally. And I really felt that there was, we had the ability, Peter Budaj is an excellent goalie coach, Jeff Glass is an excellent goalie coach. I really felt that they had, we had all the tools there and all the pieces there to really get the work done that we needed. So we sort of evaluated, we had a couple of choices and we felt that Ville was the guy that there was still some untapped potential that was sitting there that had been negated over the last little while due to injury. And after speaking to him, after speaking to some of the people in Detroit, really felt that there was an opportunity to kind of seize on something there. And as luck would have it, it ended up working out well at the end of last year.
Yeah, that's why I call him the goalie guru. Yeah. Just one of the reasons.
I was going to say it, then you said it. So.
Yeah, so you know, I've got a couple more questions. First, I am currently a free agent. Restricted.
So, I was stretching him out earlier. So, he's good to go. He's ready.
Exactly. Nobody knows this, but Emmer shoots pucks at me like on every Sunday morning.
There we go.
Perfect.
Still
there.
So
perfect.
Ready. Getting ready. But I just need bigger equipment.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
But talking about the goalies and the goalies you currently have in the stable, I mean, do you foresee like a need to add to the pile? Are you guys happy with kind of the, you know, the range of ages? And I do know sharing one net is always hard.
Absolutely.
So two goalies to share one is difficult. But the thing that you can't ever control are the injuries and injury bugs. So you have to make sure you've got enough players, whether they're in San Diego or down in the East Coast League.
Sure.
or over in Europe. But so are you guys, do you think you've got enough in the stable right now, or are you looking to maybe add to the pile at some point?
Oh, you know what? Well, Ville's is a free agent at the moment. And so obviously we'd love to have him back, but that's one of those scenarios that, again, out of my control. You know, Damian Klara is going to remain in Sweden.
Okay.
And we felt that he really didn't get an opportunity to play very much last year. And as you know, you more than I do, you know, that opportunity to get game time under you and get time in the crease is so important. And so rather than put in a situation where he's sitting on the bench in San Diego or Tulsa, getting a chance to play and be potentially a starter in the Swedish Elite League was just too enticing. So, you know, Damien will be in Sweden. You know, obviously, Kelly Klang's contract is up as well. So we'll see how that plays out. Vladislav Butaets, who the second half of the year, I thought, showed a lot of improvement. There was a lot of inconsistency in the first part of the year, but the second half of the year, I thought, was showed a lot of upside. Thomas Suhanek, unfortunately, had missed all of last season with injury.
That's right.
And so, you know, giving him an opportunity to play as well is going to be really, really important for him as well. So the long and the short of it, can you have too many? There is a point where there's oversaturation, but we do have a few places still with Klang and Huso unsigned at this point. But hopefully the people in higher positions than myself will help me out on that one.
You just keep leaving little notes.
I leave post-it notes everywhere I go, and. But it will hopefully work itself out very briefly, and at that point, then we're going to be able to sort of fill in those gaps. And like I said, we've still got you know, several rounds to go yet, so hopefully we'll see if we add one more to the stable.
Hey, thank you very much for being here. You're the best.
I appreciate it. Yeah,
we love talking goaltending. It's nice to hear too. Goaltenders talk. I've learned more about the game.
We can be
in the
sitting here
year.
Tomorrow doing the same thing,
absolutely.
And we probably just and maybe we'll be able to talk about our goalie tomorrow.
Hey, absolutely,
let's do it if that happens.
Count me in.
Congrats on all your successes. That's
thanks. Yeah, thanks, Sandy. Thank you, appreciate it.
Take
appreciate
care
it.
Of yourself.
Goaltenders, right, Guy? And after our next wonderful guest joins us, I'd like to elaborate on just that pressure of being a goaltender. But Steve, why don't you toss?
Well, and speaking of pressure.
No pressure.
Welcome, Mr. President Aaron Teets.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you're feeling a lot of pressure here. Yes. Look at.
Oh, not our pressure. Your pressure.
In this environment, like, look at look at this view you guys have out here. Oh. You've really captured it, haven't you?
Yeah. There's no pressure today. No. This was fantastic.
Was this your doing? Is that what you're saying? Looking up, being the president of the Anaheim Ducks.
I would love to tell you this is my doing, but you know better than that. We have an events team that is A+, and they find these great spots like this. So it's really cool to see.
This was a fun day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like you accomplished a whole lot. The future's getting better and better, and just some good people around. I think it's one of the best days I've been around here.
You know, I always love this day. It's sort of the culmination of so much hard work. Certainly the athletes and the families, but that whole scouting staff in there that spends all their time on the road in North America and Europe and whatever, to see them come together and kind of collaborate on who's going to be the next future player in our franchise and how that shapes it and stuff like that, it's phenomenal. So it really is the culmination of a lot of really hard work, and I think it's really fun to be around.
Okay, I have to ask you about McQueen. I have a little note here in regards to him. Is there something you need to tell us about him?
Is there something I need to tell you about him?
Yeah.
You know, I will tell you, I will say this, and you'll hear a lot of it from our GM, Pat Verbeek. This is a big kid and a lot of heart and just a lot of institutional knowledge about the game, and I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. And with that size, you know, I think he's still growing into his man body here a little bit, but in a couple of years, in 25 pounds or something like that, he is going to be a lot to deal with on an ice rink. So,
have to ask you one more thing. I'm getting all these directions from behind. This didn't come from me, but something about a helicopter?
Oh, yeah. You know, that's where...
I don't have any information.
So we have not been told anything.
It's
been a super secret.
It's been secret.
That's been going on here.
No,
And I've been absolutely cheesed about that. So I'd like to find out the details.
I actually don't believe any of you. But
well, maybe we knew, but we couldn't talk about it.
There you go. So the first round pick, you know, Roger went straight from the top of the JW Marriott, got in a helicopter, and he's flying right to Disneyland, where he's going to be there for the evening. His family's going to meet him there and stuff like that. So if you're talking about how to take advantage of, you know, born in a Disney movie, having the scene like we have here in SoCal, and taking our first round pick and really doing something a little bit unique and special. That's it. So he went right up atop of the JW Marriott, took off, and has landed right near Disneyland, and is now probably there as we speak.
That's a great story.
What a day for Roger. But I got to ask, Aaron, what's next? Is it a SpaceX rocket to the moon the next pick? What's next?
You know our marketing crew. They are very creative. They are very driven to make sure that they don't get outdone by any of the member clubs and whatnot. But it is kind of cool just to, you know, be able to have some of that creative collaboration and try to show that, you know, we're here in Southern California, and we have an opportunity to do things a little bit differently and have a little bit of fun. But then when we get to the rink, it's serious. And there's a lot of hard work and dedication that's going into making sure that this is a contending franchise and getting ourselves back into the playoffs where we belong and being a perennial contender for the cup like we want to be.
What excites you most? And there's just so, whether it's OC vibe, the list goes on and on, right? Over the next stretch really excites you?
You know, what I love to see is, you know, we've had such a long rebuild, and there's been a lot of patience from our fan base. There's been a lot of patience from the organization as a whole, staff included, and it's not simple to go through that. And we've had terrific support from the fans. What I am excited about is you're starting to see these kids develop. You're starting to see the skill, you know, coming through, and watching guys like Cutter, Gauthier, and seeing just the transformation that he had from the beginning of the season to where he ended the season last year, and then watching Leo develop and all the youth that's going to be coming, and certainly you have guys like Beckett that's going to be coming, and we'll probably see some of him next year too. So to me, that's what's exciting is the patience is paying off. The development is here. You're starting to see these guys make meaningful contributions on the ice, and it's what the fans have been waiting for. Coaching staff's been waiting for it. Even front office staff. You know, everybody's just jonesing to get ourselves back into contention for that cup. And we're starting to see the fruits of that. So I'm super excited about that.
And the pot has really been boiling, right? So it's all coming to a head. And with OC Vibe, the team getting better and better each year, I mean, everything is coming full steam ahead. So
yeah,
a lot to look forward to.
It doesn't take a whole lot of imagination to kind of see the team kind of coming together, and you're seeing the physical construction of the 100-acre campus that's going to be such a great guest experience for everybody to come to a game and go to a bar, restaurant, or something, or even the new performance theater and see a concert there on the same night that we have a game. It's like, so the amount of options that you're going to have within that 100 acres is going to be amazing, and I can't wait to see the Stanley Cup being paraded right down through the middle of OC Vibe and ending there at Honda Center, and the fans just being able to have a fantastic time with it.
Well, listen, I can't let you go, because the question I know that a lot of people are thinking in their minds, everybody's focused on the draft today, the first round, tomorrow's 2-7. But then there's another big day coming up, which is free agency.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we know that Pat has a plan, and he's executed seemingly every year, putting the pieces of the puzzle that he wants to be in place for that next season.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously it's a big opportunity for some free agents that maybe this summer he's going to be able to lure the Southern California, and that's just another part of the plan. But do you expect that's, you know, something fans can look forward to?
You know, I would expect this. There's going to be a hard drive towards it, and just like any deal that needs to be made, you need a dance partner, and things have to come together. But I will say, just as we were talking about, I think it's recognized through the league that this team, this franchise, it's really starting to turn the corner here. And I think that's attractive to a free agent that's looking for a place to be where they can win, where they might be able to settle and have roots and have this scene. Like, there's a lot of really good things about Southern California, but there's a lot of really good things about this organization, mm-hmm. this franchise, and where it's headed. So I know ownership has said the budget is there for you to do what you need to do to make this team a Stanley Cup contender. And so we're only constrained by the ability to make the deal now. And and I know that Pat feels that, and I know there's a level of expectation that comes with the fans, and that's justifiable. But with everybody, we're super excited. And I think, you know, bringing in Coach Quenneville and having this sort of a moment where you're starting to see some of that development, and then the young kids just keep coming. You know, I can't wait to see Beckett Seneca in here. And then Roger McQueen, here's another 6'5" guy that's going to be landing in here in development camp in a couple days, and he's going to be showing what he's all about. So really, really exciting times. But to answer your question, the build is on, and the rebuild is done.
Well, we feel it, certainly. Yeah, we can see it. One last thing for me, I got a text message, and it said, when Roger McQueen gets to Disneyland, there is a chance that he may meet Lightning McQueen.
Yeah, you know what?
And I think Lightning McQueen is number 95?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I'm jealous. No, I'm jealous.
Would that not be cool if that came to fruition, that someday his nickname is Lightning and he wears number 95?
You know what?
It's Disney magic, right?
You know what? I really think you need to be more in the marketing meetings. Like we need to invite you to more of these, Key. But yeah, you know, I know that's been bantered about a little bit. It's kind of fun to have that play on words. But I will tell you this, knowing what I know about him, when he puts the helmet on, I don't care what number's on his back. Yeah. That guy's going to go. And it's going to be really, really fun to watch. So that's another thing that's great about this time of year is development camp is right now. You know, they're coming here to Southern California. These kids that are going to be picked, you know, obviously Roger, but the kids that are going to be picked tomorrow, and it doesn't take too long for us to, you know, kind of see what they're all about and see what kind of work ethic they have, and for the assessment to begin and to see what the future looks like.
And training camp will be here before you know it.
I know. I can't wait.
Either can I. Yeah.
I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to this year. So
good
really
job fun. Today by everybody, and let's hope we have another good day tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, right. Look at. You can't have a bad day here with this scene you guys have out here. It's as beautiful as it gets.
It's great.
Yeah.
Congrats on the selection.
Yeah.
Aaron, appreciate
thanks
it.
Very much.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. Henry Samueli has joined us here. This has been a terrific day. Weather, draft selection, being around people in the Ducks organization. This might be my best day ever coming here just because it's been so relaxing, and you know the future is bright, and that's what I can say about it. How about you?
Of course. I mean, look at the setting. I think the other 31 teams are very jealous
when they see this background. It's been a terrific day.
So, but it's always fun, especially the first round, because you're really getting a solid player. It's very high likelihood of being a major impact player to the team. And you've looked at our pick, Roger McQueen, my God. Big kid.
Yeah, something that's been missing in the lineup since Ryan Getzlaf.
Exactly. He just reminds me of Getzlaf, his size.
Yeah.
So it's exciting. And
it is.
Credit to the whole team that Martin puts together, the scouts that find all these great players. And a lot of work goes into the draft. And it's fun to see a good outcome from that. So we're pretty happy with the result from round one and looking forward to rounds 2 through 7 tomorrow.
Well, yeah, I had a pleasure of speaking with Martin on the Behind the Bench podcast, and he mentioned the process of draft week and how one of the last sequences within the whole process is the whole management group going to you with whom they deem their choice to go with that first pick. What is that process like for you in draft week as a whole, Henry?
Oh, it's actually pretty interesting for me because, again, I don't go out there scouting players, so they give me a list of names. That means nothing to me. So when in fact, we did it yesterday. We had the meeting where all the scouts get together, and Pat's there, and I join in. Aaron Teets is there. And they go through every player in the first round, at least their top 32 that they think on their list, and they explain each one of the players, their pluses, their minuses, how they fit into the team. So you get a much better feel for who these players are. And then, you know, as we get close to our pick number, then they start narrowing down, say, these are the likely players we're going to get. And lo and behold, they nailed it. They actually predicted that Roger McQueen would be the most likely choice that we would pick in this draft, and that's how it came out.
And just a follow-up question, it's the same thing I asked Aaron. What excites you most, say, in the near term? Whether it's OC vibe, whether it's hockey-related, is there one thing that's at the top of your list as far as everything good that's going on these days with the Anaheim Ducks?
Yes, yes, and yes. It's hard to pick one because the OC vibe development, as you just mentioned, is really exciting. We still have a ways to go before it's completed, but at least phase one is going to be open probably by the end of 26, so it's not that far off. But as you drive to the arena, you see the massive construction underway. So to me, that's very exciting. But it's also exciting bringing in Joel Quenneville into the team, a new coach, new excitement, you know, really a motivation for everyone because we really think we're taking the next step up to be a consistent playoff contender and ultimately Stanley Cup contender. So to me, that's really exciting because you're seeing the OC vibe coinciding with the team really gelling, and you're going to have an incredible place to visit here and go watch hockey games and have fun afterwards and see concerts. And I'm really looking forward to all of this coming together in the next few years.
Well, congrats to all the projects.
Yeah, I mean, that's great planning, right? Yeah. They merge together at the right point.
At the right time.
So I know last year I had the chance to be at the draft in Las Vegas, and we actually had a chance to talk about the in-person draft. And you've told me that you're bummed that it wasn't going to be for this season. Now, after kind of round one is nearing completion, do you have any different thoughts? I mean, I still wish that everybody was there. You know, it's just a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I know Pat would love to be able to run down to another table and be able to have that immediate conversation. So how do you find today? Is it going as well as you would hope?
I mean, there are nice aspects of the way we're doing it today. You're very comfortable in the room here, lots of space to mill around and walk and talk, and, you know. But on the other hand, the excitement of being in one arena with all the other teams, I don't mind being crammed into the tables. And I mean, the experience we had last year at the Sphere was unbelievable. So my preference is still to do an in-person draft. And we'll see. I don't know if the league will change their mind or not. We'll see how the owners give feedback because the owners did vote to try this format. So we'll see if they vote differently to go back. I don't know. But my vote will be to go back to the old format.
I agree. Well, this has been a really fun day. I have to tell you, it's just, you just feel alive and you know what the future's all about. It's going to get better on the ice and all the other things that are coming. Can't wait. I just hope it slows down so I can enjoy, you know, 16, 17 hours a day and not go by so fast. I'm getting older.
It's not going to slow down, Steve. Sorry.
You aren't the only one.
Yeah. So, but look forward to everything that's coming up here. Yeah, it's great to be here today and what you guys do in the community and for us too as broadcasters.
Thank you so much.
You're
I really
welcome.
Appreciate it. You guys do a great job. Really do.
Thanks, Henry. Well, thank you and good luck. Yeah. We got more picks on the way.
Yes. Yeah, we're not done.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks for spending some time with
pleasure.
Us.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Henry Samueli joining us here. All right. Well, Pat Verbeek has joined us here. Pat, when you look back at the last several hours, how'd you feel this day went for you?
Great. Super excited. Great kid we drafted. Has awesome ability of obviously you got to see how big he is. He's 6'5", but he doesn't play like he's 6'5". He plays more like a 6-footer in the sense that with the agility and the skill and you know, playmaking Billy. You know, he's got a little bit of a mean streak to him, plays heavy, so we're couldn't be happier.
Well, today it didn't seem like there was a lot of activity. I think just one trade during the day. Was there anything that surprised you about how calm it was today? And you think that basically everybody got the player that they projected earlier
there's,
in the day?
Yeah, I think a lot of it was a draft that was – you just didn't know how it was going to go. There was a, you know, there's certain couple top picks were kind of in a little, you know, level of their own. And then below that was it almost boiled down to who you like, you know, what type of player you like. So, and that it was so uncertain. So everybody, if you're trying to move up or move back, people just kept their picks.
And just you as a player, Pat, you played that game that was physical. You got into the gritty areas, and you did what you had to do in order to have success. What do you appreciate when it comes to Roger McQueen's compete level? I hear that being brought up a ton. You are a guy with a high compete level. So what do you appreciate? Is it the puck protection skills? Is it him around the net?
Well, I think when he fully matures, he's just going to be so hard to defend, you know. And I think, you know, you project these kids, you know, and they're 3-4 years down the road. They've got a lot more strength. Obviously, he's far from mature. But, you know, you look at that inner drive. And, you know, when I saw him, he got suspended at the U18s. In that tournament, trying to think where we were, Czechia, and I that kind of excited me a little bit. I like guys that play aggressive and certainly play with that edge. And so it's there. He's going to battle to get to the front of the net. He's obviously got a lot of, you know, skill and ability to score goals as well. So he brings a unique combination of size. You know, Leo's a completely different player than this player. So he's, you know, when you can kind of have the centerman that we're starting to get now, it's really exciting.
Do you have the pieces in place in your mind as far as just further down the line, what players you see meshing with who, whether it's,
well,
Roger McQueen?
Yeah,
with,
that's hard. That's hard to say. Like, you know, you can kind of envision what the top six might look like. But until you get them on the ice together and they start playing together and, you know, do they gel? You know, it's like there's all kinds. There might be line combinations you don't suspect or you don't project. And sometimes other things work out better. So, you know, the thing you try and do is you try to get the ingredients of compete, hockey sense. And I certainly, with, you know, Beckett last year and this kid this year, like, we're super excited.
So looking at tomorrow and, you know, rounds 2 through 7, a number of picks, you know, we were talking actually about diamonds in the rough. And I know your scouting department scours the earth, yeah, to try to find those players. I mean, do you see that there's those type of players available in this draft?
Well, it's hard.
You never know.
You,
right?
Just don't know. Like, who thought fifth round Troy Terry would, you know, like there's all you have to have parameters in the sense that, you know, your objectives that you're trying to have in a player. And if they, you know, they check a few of those boxes, then, you know, then if other elements of the, you know, some of their games aren't fully developed, but if they bring along other elements in their game, then these players, you know, you get the chance for players to pop. So it's like, that's why it's a tough game to project. It's you know, you just got to try and rely on experience and try to rely on, you know, watching a lot of games, you know, to see and your experience as far as what some of these players turned out to be that you watched, you know, and try and gather that and put that into the computer and try and see when you're looking for the next one.
And just,
yeah, do you find any of the – I was talking about my situation when I got drafted, that this one scout, Jack Evans, was like, Ron Curran, you got to draft this goalie out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm staking my reputation on it. Pick him, and he's going to work out. And fortunately for Jack and I, it did work out. But do you ever see that with your scouting department, that someone is in there just really battling for one type,
sure,
of player?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they get like, you know, I think the main thing when we talk about our scouts is make sure, like, if you're every player that's on our list, you have to be passionate about. It can't be just, you know, they have to be passionate about why they want this player and why you want to pick them. And so at certain points, you know, when you start crossing all the names off that are on your list, or you start going through a bunch of names, then, you know, certain names start to, you know, stick out or pop out. And then, you know, each area scout starts to fight for their guy. So it's, you know, and then it's up to Martin, because I haven't seen them all. So anyway, I can't tune in, pipe in to have an opinion. So, I mean, yeah, that's the process.
and just we were speaking on some of the, maybe the potential of some of these later round picks, whether in past drafts or tomorrow. But going with our prospect crop in San Diego, going back to last draft, post first round last draft, who were you impressed with last season, going back to juniors or college?
You mean as far as the kids we drafted?
Last year in their development.
For the most part, I mean, all the kids we drafted, they had good seasons. Like, you know, you could look at Precision, you could look at Terrence Smith, you could look at, Beckett had a great season. I mean, I know I'm forgetting somebody because we had a lot of
Maxime Massé.
He got off to an unreal start, and then he broke his ankle, and that kind of set him back. So it was like certain things happen. But you know, we're excited. We got a lot of, and it's going to be competitive. You know, 2-3 years from now, when all these guys are going to be fighting, you know, for jobs and they're good players. So it's that's the exciting part. Now it's like. Now we're in a position where we can really start, you know, with the big club, we can start taking steps now, and we can let these guys really develop, and we can kind of, you know, slowly start, you know, when they're ready, they can start inserting them into the lineup. And they're all big kids. Like, we've drafted, you know, for the most part, really big kids, and we're gonna be a big club, you know, in the future.
And going back to my last question, Tristan Luneau, he had a big year, certainly deserves a lot of credit for the year he had down in San Diego. I mean, just overall thoughts on the year he had, his progression. Obviously, he dominated, but just...
He had a really good season. I'm trying to think of a defenseman that's, you know, a rookie defenseman that's played like a P.K. Subban maybe might have had, a season like that as a defenseman. So... certainly he did. He had a lot of good things. And the scary part is, you know, there's more upside. You know, there's a lot more upside to what he did even last year. There's still a lot of things that he needs to learn, you know, for the NHL. And so, but that's the great part about it. There's a lot of upside and maturity that's still left to happen in his game.
Congrats on the pick of Roger McQueen, and all the best tomorrow.
Yeah, good job today, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks a lot. See you guys.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on Duckstream.